VentureCast.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Starfleet Leadership Academy, leadership development told through the lens of Star Trek. Your host, Jeff Aiken, is a 20-year veteran of the public and private sectors in management and leadership. He specializes in helping people unlock their true potential and is a huge Star Trek fan. And now, here's your host, Jeff Aiken.
Welcome. Thanks for joining me today. We all face near impossible situations as leaders. In facing those, you can either grow and emerge stronger, or you can let the situation drag you down. We're going to explore this in the days before the Kobayashi Maru as we do a rewrite after watching the second episode of the third season of Enterprise, Anomaly. The Enterprise is continuing its journey through the Delphic Expanse, searching for any signs of the Zindi. In the last few episodes, they've reminded us that space is a weird place in this expanse, and we see that right from go.
The Cochrane equation, it's not constant here.
Captain Archer is hanging out with his dog, Porthos, and drinking some coffee. A weird distortion rushes through his room, causing him to spill his coffee, but instead of dropping to the desk and the deck, it just kind of hangs in midair, almost frozen. Things aren't much better in engineering or sickbay. The readings are weird. Dr. Phlox's animals are scurrying about and making weird noises. All the anomalies are making the warp field fail and
we're losing main power.
They drop out of warp and get to working on figuring this all out. They find another ship where they dropped out of warp. It's adrift with no life signs and no atmosphere on board. Archer gets a group of Makos together and they head over to investigate. They find evidence of violence on the ship and confirm no survivors. They limp away from the ship as quickly as possible because
whoever attacked them could still be nearby.
And they're right. The attackers fly in.
3,000 meters in closing.
The Enterprise has no defenses, no weapons. They're still down. A group of pirates beam into the ship. They start blasting the crew and stealing gear. They absolutely overwhelm the ship and clean them out. As the last of the pirates are beaming out, they're able to capture one and lock him up in the brig. But they are in a bad, bad way.
How bad is it?
They made off with 3 photonic torpedoes, a case of plasma rifles, 2 dozen stun grenades, just as they cleaned out half the food stores.
They have maybe a month's worth of fuel left. They're almost out of food. Like, yikes. Dr. Phlox is tending to the wounded. Crewman Fuller doesn't make it, but the rest are going to recover. He has information on the captured pirate, though.
You might be interested to know that I recognize his species. He's Osarian.
He's not from the Expanse?
Not originally.
T'Pol pulls some data on them. They aren't a species with a history of piracy, so it appears that they are an anomaly within a field of anomalies. Archer interrogates him. He says that he's going to find the attacker's ship, take back what was stolen, and will then allow them to leave unharmed. He just wants what was taken. He's not after revenge or anything petty like that. At least not yet. But dude isn't keen on helping out. If he betrays his crew, his captain will kill him. And he isn't too worried. He says the Enterprise crew is far too civilized to do any real harm. He goes on to say that his crew started here, right? Just looking for trade routes. But they couldn't get out of the expanse.
After a few more encounters with the anomalies, it wasn't long before we became predators.
From there, they've slowly slid into more and more violence. T'Pol and Mayweather have been studying the derelict ship's records. With the info they gathered, they believe they can track the pirate's ship and have weapons online by the time they find them. On the way, they find something wild and unexpected. A sort of a blank spot, a gap in space. They pass through a barrier of some kind, lots of turbulence and pressure on the ship. When they emerge, though, they find a massive sphere.
It's approximately 19 kilometers in diameter.
Now, that's almost 12 miles for us in the U.S. It's clearly manufactured, but who could construct something on that scale?
That's no moon.
They approach and find an entrance. They board a shuttle and head inside. It's huge and cavernous, but they find a spot to dock. Not too surprisingly, they find their cargo there and they begin recovery operations. They even get in a tiny nod to Deep Space Nine while working through the cache.
They're not going to run out of stem bolts anytime soon.
They get most of their stuff back, other than what they assume is being used on the pirate ship. They touch on Tripp's sleeping problems again and his neuropressure sessions with T'Pol. They've only had one session so far, and Phlox is adamant that that's not enough. T'Pol is amazed by the power generation and the output of this sphere.
The sphere is emitting massive amounts of gravimetric energy.
And believes it's got something to do with the anomalies. She's focusing on scans and researching this. Between her and other research being done, they determine the pirates had hit a Zindi ship recently. Archer goes to the prisoner and lays into him.
Which species of Zindi were they? What did they look like?
He's still not helpful at all. So Archer grabs him, takes him in to an airlock. Calling his bluff, the prisoner says nothing. So Archer starts depressurizing it. Reed comes by. He tries to talk Archer down, but he is committed. At the last second, he lets the prisoner out, locks him up again. He continues the interrogation and learns the pirates had downloaded the Zindi database when they took the ship. They come up with a plan to hack into their system once they can find them and snag that data. They meet up, and weapons ready, Enterprise attacks, and it is on.
Let's get it all!
Mayweather holds them close enough to the ship while Hoshi starts the download. It's intense as they navigate weird space, fight, and try to hold close enough. When they get most of the database downloaded, they take out the ship's engines, and the fight is over. Archer returns the prisoner to the pirates, prompting him to taunt,
"So you have let your morality get in the way after all,"
and warns that mercy won't help them in the expanse.
"We do not train to be merciful here. Mercy is for the weak. Here, on the street, in competition. A man confronts you, he's the enemy. An enemy deserves no mercy."
Back on their way, Archer begins pouring through the Zindi database, and we go to credits with him lost in all that data. This episode really starts changing the direction and the feel of Enterprise. When this Zindi arc started, we talked about them wanting to move this series in that direction. Now, well, here we go. There are 22 more episodes in this arc, and we're already seeing some of the substantial changes in the characters and the overall tone of the show.
Come to Quark's Quest. This is fun. Come right now. Don't walk. Run!
In the 30th episode of the Starfleet Leadership Academy, Discovery, Choose Your Pain, I talked about the incredible performance review that Saru set up for himself. Now, there's a tool that enables you to do the same thing for yourself and your teams. For your free copy of this tool, visit starfleetleadership.academy and join the mailing list. You'll not only get a free copy of this incredible tool, but you'll also hear about other cool things going on with the Starfleet Leadership Academy. Visit starfleetleadership.academy today and get your free copy.
I do carry a select line of unique artifacts and gemstones indigenous to this region.
With Star Trek's experience in serialized storytelling, mostly in DS9, it's no surprise that this episode is kind of slow. In an overarching story like this, you have to introduce the setting, the world, the problems and challenges, and the key players. In a way, it's like setting all the pieces up on the chessboard. What we know right now is that the stakes are huge. We're talking Earth and all of humanity. The setting has been described to us, but this is where we're starting to actually experience the reality of this setting. wild spatial anomalies, new sets of scientific rules, and danger and desperation to the point that peaceful people turn to piracy and murder. Knowing that, this is a really well done episode. Not knowing that, though, it's slow and a little bit boring. The story is hyper-focused on Archer, with all the other characters just kind of supporting his journey. That we'll talk about in the command code section here in a little bit. But that's another really important thing to keep in mind with this Zindi arc. One of the main things it accomplishes is developing Archer to the point where his final form...
Look at that brilliant form! There can be no doubt! This is the true power, complete in all its majesty. This is Autonomous Ultra Instinct!
Eventually becoming, spoiler alert here, becoming the first president of the Federation is believable. I mean, let's be real here. The first two seasons of Archer have been pretty underwhelming, if I'm being kind. He's been juvenile, macho, and not a very strong leader. It's through this season-long story arc that he really starts to develop into a strong leader in character. But one thing that happened in this episode that is huge and worth noting is the death of Crewman Fuller. Now, he's not the first person on the ship to die, but he's the first one to die in combat. Like, he's the first person to get killed by someone. They're really working to ramp up the danger and the stakes here, and this episode did a really, really good job with that.
Command codes verified.
Jonathan Archer, to this point in the Starfleet Leadership Academy, has been a terrible leader. He's been self-serving, whiny, overly macho, and generally just not a very cool or effective dude. While Enterprise is an exploration of the pre-Starfleet days in Star Trek, I've always held that it's more of an exploration of the development of a captain and a leader. And in this episode, we see how a near impossible situation starts Archer on a path that gets pretty dark and disturbing, but allows him to emerge better and stronger eventually. We're going to talk about how he approaches this situation, and I'm going to ask, how could he have done it better?
The Starfleet Leadership Academy is supported by listeners just like you. Click the link in the show notes to support the ongoing production of this podcast.
The situation the Enterprise ends up in after the pirates snag all their gear reminds me of the Oregon Trail game. It's like they were plugging along just fine, tried to ford a river, and the wagon tipped over, losing all the food and the wagon tongues that you've been collecting. Ugh, that is so frustrating. But as has been said many times by many people in a lot of different ways, it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to that matters. I used to read and listen to a lot of Jim Rohn. Rohn was a speaker and a mentor that focused on self-development, mostly in a sales paradigm. The list of people that directly credit Rohn for his influence on their work is a literal who's who of self and professional development. We're talking Tony Robbins.
Our entire life changes in a moment. Who gets that? Say I. Problems are what make us grow. Authenticity will lead to a rich life.
Jack Canfield, Mark Hughes, and Brian Tracy. The list goes on, but those are a bunch of names that are synonymous with the work that many of us do. I remember a thing that he said that has stuck with me forever. He says, "It's not the blowing of the wind. It's the set of your sails." I mean, that is huge. I don't sail, and even I can see that. Like, I can physically see what he means in my mind. The full quote, and I'll link the talk that this is in down in the show notes, but the full quote is, "The same wind blows on us all, the winds of disaster, opportunity, and change. Therefore, it is not the blowing of the wind, but the setting of the sails that will determine our direction in life." He goes on with specific examples, like waiting for a specific person or a political party to be in power. The lawmakers and policy setters impact all of us, right? They are the wind. But regardless of the administration, some do well and others don't. That is because of the set of their sail. In this episode, the pirates take out a number of ships. The derelict that we see early on, the Zindi ship we learn about later, and eventually, at least in the short term, the Enterprise. The pirates in this are the Wind. The previous victims lost all of their stuff and died, while Enterprise came out relatively whole. That was because of the set of their sails. So we're not going to talk about the pirates at all. They're just the Wind, and the same wind blows on everyone in this region. We are going to focus on how Captain Archer sets the sails, how he chooses to respond and react to the situation. In an effort to offer some grace to our dear captain, I want to acknowledge that stuff is weird, right? Porthos is barking at stuff. He's got coffee floating in the air. That said, at like 9 minutes into the episode, the cracks in his demeanor really start to show. In his ready room, he's getting huffy, pacing around. Eventually, he grabs his coffee cup, the one that was floating in midair. He snags it and he slams it into his desk. He is not holding on well at all. But if I'm being honest and extending grace, this wasn't at all unreasonable. This is starting to become an impossible situation. So it's natural and okay to get frustrated with that. Heck, it's even okay to slam your floating coffee cup down, as long as you do it like Archer, in private. Find a safe space where your release isn't going to influence your team, and then let it go. But where Archer continues down this path, losing his cool, you need to let that time in your office or wherever you went privately bring you back to cool. Archer does not do that at all. In fact, when he's interrogating the prisoner the first time, we get a glimpse into his thinking, and it is not good. The situation is getting worse and worse, seemingly by the minute. If this prisoner would just play ball and answer Archer's questions, they could go after their gear, send dude back, and it's all good. I mean, Archer started out awesome here. He didn't want revenge or anything like that. He just wants his stuff back. He just wanted the prisoner to tell him how to find the pirates, get his stuff back, and they could all go along their merry way. Honestly, a pretty sweet and generous offer. So far, so good with Archer at this point. But prisoner isn't gonna play ball. He knows that if he gives any info up, the pirate captain will kill him. So he's faced with certain death or something that he thinks will be better than that. He doesn't believe that Archer and the Enterprise crew have gotten ruthless yet. He doesn't believe that they're going to actually kill him. And we, as the viewers, we don't believe they'd do that either. I mean, this is Star Trek, right? Or is it? Fun bit of trivia. This is the last episode of Enterprise that was just called Enterprise. After this, it's called Star Trek Enterprise. And Archer kind of leans in to this not being Star Trek.
I need what was stolen from me. There's too much at stake to let my morality get in the way.
Now, to be fair, these are just words at this point, but they just don't feel right. And this is Archer crossing into a place of pure desperation. This is actually a really good spot right now to pause and do a quick reality check. The stakes here for Archer are extreme. They're going to run out of fuel and food within a month, and the ship has no defenses. Without a solution, his crew is sentenced to a slow and lonely death. With the exception of about three of you out there, your stakes will never be this high. And never, ever stop thanking whomever you need to thank for that fact. So with that in mind, we find ourselves in seemingly impossible situations in our work life. These are the situations where leadership is really needed and we start earning our salary.
But could you pay me in advance?
Here shortly, I'm going to present a different approach that Archer could have taken. The approach that I recommend for you. But I want to check in right here and first, acknowledge that your world is probably not the same as Archer's. And second, what he's doing here is not okay. Not okay at all. So back into it. The story continues and the situation gets more dire. Now, on top of the survival of his crew, Archer believes these guys have critical information to get them closer to accomplishing their mission with the Zindi. And this is where we see an entirely new and dark side of Captain Jonathan Archer. He tosses the pirate into an airlock and starts depressurizing it. That means he's sucking the air out of the chamber, like all of it. This isn't just losing oxygen. This is losing the air, creating a vacuum. This is more than the pressure stuff that you feel on an airplane. Like, if you're flying and somehow the cabin loses pressure, you might pop some blood vessels, you're gonna hurt your ears, but you have this convenient plastic little oxygen mask that pops down in front of you. You'll be uncomfortable, yeah. Maybe you'll have to even recover a bit afterwards, but ultimately, you'll be okay. When you're in an airlock, you're gonna pop a lot more than blood vessels, and there isn't a plastic oxygen mask with a baggie that won't necessarily inflate. Bottom line, this is cruel. This is unusual and an extreme form of torture from the captain of the Enterprise. And he doesn't just put dude through this and wait for him to talk. No, he leans in.
You better start talking now, because in about 40 seconds, you won't be able to.
Captain Archer lost his cool and went against what we've been made to believe are his personal values, as well as the values of United Earth. And the worst part of this, and again, spoiler alert, this isn't the worst moment for him in the series. Yeah, buckle up. It's kind of a downhill ride for a little while. Now, we get a level of relief at the end of the episode. They get their stuff back, prisoners returned, and they even offer us a shred of hope.
So you have let your morality get in the way after all.
But honestly, oh, that almost makes this all worse. So, failing grade for Archer here. Unless you're an ends justify the means kind of person, and if you are, I invite you to check out a number of episodes of the Starfleet Leadership Academy. I'd say, off the top of my head, the 19th, 38th, and 49th, maybe the 63rd episode. I'm sure there are more. Okay, so that's what happened. And I hope, think, we can all agree that it was not okay. So let's do the thing I love to do with Enterprise and do a rewrite. Let's start back to when Archer grabbed his coffee cup and slammed it down on the desk. Like I said, nothing wrong with that if that's what you need to do. Sometimes we need a big physical release. The caveat here is that you don't want to hurt yourself or others or destroy anything. Contained violence, I guess. For me, this often involves pillows or couch cushions, either screaming into them or punching them. Other physical releases for me that are probably more helpful, they're definitely more productive, if not as immediate, are going for a walk, or getting behind my drum kit and banging out some System of a Down or some Rush. You need to figure out what your big physical releases are. Plan ahead. When you aren't prepared, you do things you're going to regret. I've been in meetings before that are not going well, and I'll look ahead at my schedule and try to work in 10 to 15 minutes to either get behind the drums, or head outside. So we'll pretend that's what Archer did. He bangs the coffee cup down, takes a breath, he's back to zero, or at least close to it. So now, when he goes to interrogate the prisoner, he doesn't get sucked in. He doesn't respond to the baiting from him. Instead of responding to cruelty with threatened cruelty, he engages in a for real conversation with him. And yes, for real conversation is a technical term. That's where the prisoner dude talks and Archer listens. When Archer does talk, he's asking questions or validating things the prisoner says. I mean, the prisoner literally handed him the perfect in. They have a common enemy, a common threat. It's not like this guy likes who he and his crew have become, and he's afraid to go back. Archer has an opportunity to appeal to his sense of morality, but instead came back with aggression. Now, here's the wild thing. Had Archer done this, we'd basically be done. I mean, he might have to go back and pick this up a few times. Like, I don't want to fool you or paint an unrealistic picture. This isn't something Archer could likely solve in one for real conversation. He has to connect, establish trust, show the guy that what they have in common is stronger than the things that are pulling them apart. But after that for real conversation, they'd be good. Prisoner would help them get to the sphere, they'd get their stuff back, and if I'm being ridiculously optimistic, end up with some allies here in the Delphic Expanse. How we show up in situations matters. That's becoming a real buzzword kind of a thing to say. Like, how are you going to show up? How did you show up, right? but it's such a perfect way of describing it. In the episode, Archer showed up to the brig ramped up, angry, and not ready to listen to anything other than exactly what he wanted to hear. Had he shown up calm, relaxed, because he did the big physical release that he needed to, there would have been a dramatically different outcome. So think about how you are showing up. How do you show up for your team, for a client, your boss? What practice or exercise can you put in place before showing up that sets you up for a for real conversation? Figure that out. Do it. And I can all but guarantee that you'll start getting different and better results right away. I want to know what practices or exercises you're preparing for these frustrating, often nearly impossible situations. Are you going for a walk? Screaming into a pillow? Playing an instrument? What other cool ideas have you come up with? Share those with me on Twitter or Mastodon at SFLA Podcast or on Instagram at Jeff T. Aiken. That's Jeff, T as in trade routes, A-K-I-N. Computer, what are we going to watch next time?
Working.
We're headed into the second season of The Next Generation, the 14th episode, The Icarus Factor. This is an epic episode. Not only do we meet Commander Riker's dad and get to see them in their American Gladiators gear when they do their Ambo Jitsu thing, but this is the one where Worf walks down a line of Klingons hitting him with lightning sticks. Lots of memorable moments in this one, and I am excited to dive into it with you. So until then, Ex Astra Scientia!
Hey, it's Tim from 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys, the comedy podcast you had no idea you needed. Join Ben, Jeff, and me as we continue our musical road trip back through the years and around the globe. See, just when you thought all white guys were like Joe Rogan, you come across three educators trying to remember when we were cool.
50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys.
Electric Acid.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the Nature Backed Podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us, from renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the Nature Backed Podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed.
Electric Acid.